So hi everyone, even with technical difficulties, welcome to another Fresh Fiction Virtual Book Club. I'm Samantha T, and today's guest is Katie Ruggle. And Katie, I have so many questions for you because I know you from your romantic suspense books, but we definitely want to talk about your new release, Fish Out of Water. So with that, let's start off with something a little bit easy. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you first get started writing?
Okay, sure. My name is Katie Ruggle, and I am in Minnesota now. I was in Colorado for about 19 years, and I lived off-grid, middle of nowhere. I'd get snowed in, and it'd get to a point where I'm like, I have to talk to someone in person. So I even considered bringing a thing of whiskey that I just happened to have as a gift to the guy who plowed, because I'm like, maybe he'll talk to me then. So that was how remote I was for a while, but it worked really well to kind of give me a setting for my books. The way I got started was I was a creative writing major in college, and then I thought, oh, I should probably do something more practical. So I went and got my MBA, and I had a lot of jobs. I got my certificate in law enforcement, and I was a community service officer. So we did a lot of the forensics, and I'm a total forensics nerd. So I got a lot of the experience how a police investigation works, that sort of thing. I was also an engineer, and so I know about nerds. But all this time I was thinking, you know, I'd really like to be an author. Like ever since I was a kid and lived at the library, basically, I wanted to be an author. And then one day it occurred to me, I have to write a book in order to publish it. So that's what I did. I wrote for an online-only small press, my first editor, I just loved. I just worked so well with her, and then she left to go to New York and work with a nonfiction publisher, and so I eventually she just emailed me out of the blue years later and said, I've been moved to the romance section. Do you want to do a series? And even before she got series out yet, I said, yes, 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 please. And I still have her. She's still amazing. And now I'm with Source Books. I was really lucky with my writing career. I fell into a lot of good situations. And you had mentioned the romantic suspense. I am coming back to that. So what happened is I did two of the Bounty Hunter books, and then the market just fell out of mass market books. And those are those little ones that you get at the grocery store that you can fit in a pocket. And no one was buying them. So she said, okay, we're going to switch you to trade. And I said, great. You know, that's the bigger ones you see at Target. Like this one, it has an illustrated cover. So I said, great, you know, I love that. And they said, well, write, you know, something that's a standalone to kind of be the first one that I do in this new type. So I wrote Fish Out of Water, it took a long time. I haven't had a book out since this one came out. It's been 4 years. So I was very happy to get back in. And in the meantime, I did write the last three books in the Bounty Hunter series, if anyone's waiting for those. But this one, Fish Out of Water, I wrote when I was having a very bad year. I think everyone was having a very bad year. It's 2022. And so I wanted a book that was just like a nice book hug. There's no third act breakup. Not to do spoilers for those who haven't finished it or read it yet. But it's just a very safe book. There's, you know, that little bit of suspense. There's a bear. But overall in the relationship, It's very it's just very safe. It's very comforting. And I was very comforted by writing it. So I hope when people read it, that's what they find as well.
Well, I love that because you're right. I mean, I think so many of us did have a hard time over the last several years. And I know my reading choices changed a lot during that time. And I'm still very much immersed in the different rom-coms. That tends to be, like you said, those comforting hugs in a way of I want that feel-good story. And I mean, I still read all my other genres, but the rom-coms definitely seem, hey, this is that pick-me-up that I need while everything else is going crazy. So how was that for you when you were actually doing the writing portion of it? I mean, were you just kind of in a sense in a bit of a pink cloud as you were where everything was feel good with it? Because I
That's a
mean, it
good
definitely is a shift
description.
from some of your other books.
Yes. Well, and I did have kind of instructions from my editor that it should be standalone. It should be more of a rom-com feel. So I did go in. I said, "Well, okay, rom-com, but can I make it a little murdery? And how
Yes,
many
I love that.
explosions can I
Murdery
have?" And
rom-coms.
she said, "You can have like two explosions." I said, "Okay." So we had to kind of negotiate the terms. But that's such a good description because I read somewhere someone was talking about being a little emotionally sunburned, and that's where I was, where I just felt a little raw. So this book, you know, sometimes writing is so hard. I feel like I'm just having to pull each word out, and some days I write 300 words, that's it, and I delete 500. But for this one, it just flowed. It just Dahlia was just popped out of me. Winston, you know, he was fully formed. And they just made it so easy. My characters made it so easy for me.
So even with this book, did the characters come to you first, or was it more of the storyline?
Dahlia was kind of the first. She you know, the trend of not like other girls, which is kind of going away now, thank goodness. But I wanted to be kind of the opposite of that, where she likes the traditionally feminine things. She's for people who haven't read it yet, she is a makeup, I'm sorry, makeover artist from LA. And she loves helping people find their, like being able to show who they are on the outside, or who they want to be, or, you know, and just letting them. Giving them the help to find how they want to look, and how they want to present themselves to people. And so she's very proud of this. She's very confident in it. There's one line where they're out in the wilderness. There's no one else around except those two and the bears. And she's about to put her makeup on because it's in the tent. And she's going to do the natural look because, you know, it fits the situation. And he said, "Why are you doing that? It's only me and I don't care." And she said, "Well, it's not only you. You're forgetting someone. There's also me." And so she's very, very much, she does it for herself and she helps people do it for themselves rather than for someone else's approval. So I kind of had her. And then I really like Grumpy Sunshine. That's one of my favorite tropes is, you know, the squishy on the inside but growly on the outside mountain man, and then the you know, happy outgoing character who kind of pulls him out of his shell kicking and screaming. And I also wanted that, well, like the title, you know, Fish Out of Water. I wanted that where she's very confident in her career and her home and her city. But you take her and you just put her into this completely different situation. And another one of my favorite scenes, and I won't give anything away, but she likes to use, or she is able to, with her tools of the trade, you know, in her makeup and kind of cosmetic kit, to solve other problems. So I was calling it MacGyvering up like a boss. And so that was really fun to play off of too.
And I would think that this character die would be fun for you also because of the fish out of water element, because you are very adventurous and all the different outdoor activities. I mean, the scuba diving, and I mean, you were alluding to some of it earlier with the different types of jobs that you've had, but you know, with the Krav Maga and boxing and shooting, Dahlia's not exactly like that. So, I mean, was that fun to kind of look at things from a different viewpoint? And of course, you know, like you said, living off grid, I mean, this is almost like a counterpoint to your own experiences in a way.
It is, in a way. I have to admit that I have watched so many makeup tutorials and fashion tutorials, because I'm not, as you can tell, I'm just a, you know, run the brush through a couple times and I'm good to go. You know, wash my face, I'm out the door. And I also spent a ridiculous amount of time making up makeup names and fashion designer names. And then I have to Google and make sure I didn't just steal somebody's, like it's stuck in the back of my mind. So for every color of lipstick, I had to make up a name. And it was fun, but it probably took about half the time of writing the book. But on the other hand, I have to admit, I hate camping. I hate it. I love outdoor stuff. I love hiking.
I'm so surprised by this. Okay.
I know. I love horseback riding. But after I get done with that activity, I want to go to an enclosed home space, whether that's a hotel or a house or wherever. I want a shower. I want a bed with an actual mattress. So, because I don't care how many, you know, like air mattress you put, it's still, the ground is still very hard. And also, I am not a fan of ticks. So it's almost a phobia. So I don't want anything to be crawling on me while I'm sleeping. So that is my confession.
And those things become more and more important also as I grow older. I wasn't a fan of it when I was a kid, because every family vacation, dad and mom insisted we had at least one night camping.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Doing the road trip. Oh, yeah. But one night tended to cure us all, and we're like, okay, that was enough. Pack up the tent. Where's the hotel? And with you. Don't worry.
That's enough. Yeah.
Enough, right? I mean, no. But I do want to go back a little bit, purely just from a technical curiosity element of moving from the mass market to the trade. Mm-hmm. Why does that take so long for the transition to get it published? Because from a reader's perspective, I mean, everyone has their preferences on the type of book. I get that. But at the end of the day, the story is the story. Mm-hmm. And you've got three of them lined up. Why such a delay on that?
I think that was less, this always happens, and more just this was my situation, because we didn't intend to make the switch so quickly. And so we did a lot of shuffling. So in the Bounty Hunter series, there's five sisters, and I had written Nora's book. And then my publisher came back and said, well, we really want you to go back to, for trade debut, we really want you to go back to my first series, little town called Simpson, and kind of reintroduce those characters. And kind of, it's almost like a sampler plate, right? It's all the characters. So you can, you know, whichever ones you like, you can go back and read their book. And so I said, okay, so I'll write Felicity's book, which is another sister. And then, so I swapped those out. And then they said, okay, we've changed our minds. we want you to write a standalone, which is more of a rom-com, to kind of ease you into the trade. And, you know, I cried a little, because we've been going, this was several years down the line. And also, you know, that was when I was emotionally sunburned a little bit. But then I said, no, you know what? I will write that, but first I have to write the fifth book in the series, because I have a terrible memory. And I'm going to forget the
No.
characters' names. I'm going to forget, especially going back to my first series. I had to read the whole first series again to make sure, I knew everybody, everyone's quirks and who they lived with. And there's tons of characters in this little town. And so I'm going to write that fifth book. Then I'll go back. I'll write the rom-com, and then we'll do it. So it was partially my fault. Partially we're just doing some shuffling. So yeah, that's why it took 4 years. And then everything slowed down. The paper shortage. They just didn't have people to work at the printers 2020. So everything got pushed back. I was talking to Charlene Harris, and she's like, "Oh yes, I've been pushed back 3 times." And I'm like, "Okay, if Charlene Harris is getting pushed back, I feel just fine with doing that." And she said, "I'm just lucky I get a publication date at this point." So things got a little hairy in publishing, 2020, 2021, even kind of into 2020. Excuse me, 2022.
Because we're always anxious to see when is the next book. So we also, as readers, appreciate that additional peek behind the curtain to kind of understand some of those nuances that we don't always get to see or understand initially. So it's relieved to know that you've got the next books already written and ready to go.
Yes. So if there's a delay, it's not on my end. So they should be coming out. Let's see. So Felicity's book, which it has my super favorite trope in it, and I'm not going to say because it's a total spoiler, but I ended up just loving it. Her book's July 30th, 30th. And then the next two should be about 5 months after each one. So they're, like I said, unless something totally unexpected happens on the publishing side, they should be coming out pretty consistently. And then I get to start my new project.
And that's what I was going to ask about. What can you give us any hints as far as the new project? Are you going to continue doing more of the murdery rom-coms, or are you back to more of the romantic suspense, like with the bounty hunters and the canine units, which I love the canines. We always love the dogs, right?
All
Or I mean,
right.
and I know there's not more in those, but along those lines and like with the Cowboys, which direction are you going to continue to kind of go back and forth and mix them?
Well, funny you should say back and forth because I am going to continue more with the less with the kind of low suspense rom-com and more with the romantic suspense. I'm always going to have some humor in it because I think I'm funny. So at least I'll try. So I will have more. We haven't decided on what series that we're going to go with next, but we will be working on that soon. But also, I'm going to be working on a romantic fantasy. So I'm very excited
Really?
about that. Yeah, it's going to be something totally different than what I've been doing.
Oh, wow. I mean, there's a lot. Again, our readers read across all different types of genres, and we have a lot of people who are big fans of the romantic fantasy. And so, are you excited about building? Is it a completely new world? And are you putting together kind of like a book Bible for that? And how is that process going for you? Without going into too much details and spoilers, but
No, it's I'm working with my editor, and the first thing was my editor and agent and I just started talking, and I said, "Well, here's kind of my ideas." And I've already filled two notebooks. I'm a big note taker in person. I don't write my books that way, but I do like handwriting notes, and I filled two notebooks just with like world details. From government to magic rules to what how they interact with people with non-magical people. And so it's still I only have about about 12,000 words written on the first book. So it's still in its infancy. I'm sure it's going to change a lot. But yeah, it's a little intimidating and overwhelming to have to make this world because you have to do all the rules. And with contemporary, you already have your rules. Like there's gravity. There's no one with magic. You have the rules of physics that kind of everybody knows. So I'm excited, but also, yes, very scared.
Oh, wow. And being so much at the very beginning of this project, also, I would think again, it's the which are the different things that are most appealing to you? Of is it the building of the world? Is it the creating of the story, the characters? Are you picturing it all in your mind and already seeing scenes play out of like, okay, I can't wait to get this on paper, but I have to wait until I need a little bit more of the world fleshed out. And are things already changing a little bit from what you originally imagined?
Completely. I've been thinking about it for a long time. Like you said, I'm pretty typical. I stick pretty much fiction with romance. I want my happy ending. But I go all over the spectrum in romance. So I do read fantasy, some science fiction, not my favorite. Contemporary, of course, romantic suspense, of course, rom-coms, pretty much everything. So this has been kind of percolating in my head for a while. But it's already changed just a ton just through conversations. And it's kind of fun because, like I said, I get along really well with my editor. We just mesh. And so we'll have these conversations where we just are all over the place. It's like we're off-roading. And she'll say, "Well, what if we had this detail?" And I'm like, "Oh!" And all I can do is make monkey noises because it's so exciting. And then I build on that, and then she says, "Well, what about this?" And but I've always changed a lot. So I submit my first draft. It's not really a rough draft because I've been through it a few times. But the first time my editor sees it, generally we change at least a third to a half of all the words. So sometimes she'll say, "I just don't believe him as the bad guy. So how about we make this other person a bad guy and we make the original bad guy the hero in the next book?" And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Okay. All right. We can do this." So the worst part to me is getting the initial words down. That's the hardest part when I have nothing. I'm just staring at that like computer screen and I'm like, "Oh, I have to do this. I have to create something out of nothing." But once I have it, then I'm like, "Yeah, let's rip this thing apart." I am perfectly happy editing. Not to say once in a while, I'll read comments from the copy editor, from the content editor and be like, and then, be all defensive. But I usually sleep on it. And by the next day, I'm like, "Yes, they're right again." And then I'll go ahead and make the changes. Once in a while, I'll have something. I'm like, "No, I want this. I really want this." And usually they'll be like, "Okay, so let's change this other part to make it work." So we have a really good process. But to answer your original question, because I just went all the way around it, yes, I'm expecting it to change completely. And throughout the series. So, because I think what I'll do is I'll write all three. I'm sorry, all four. See, I can't even remember how many are going to be in the first series. And for the first time, I get to take the same main character over four books.
Oh, wow.
So,
Okay.
So that I'll really be able to explore the main characters and their world and their specific, found family world, instead of, if not leaving it, at least going a little bit sideways.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to leave off questions on that because I don't want to risk spoilers. I don't want you to give too much away so early in the process. Don't want to influence that. So instead, let's jump over and get in a couple of our fresh fiction fact questions. These are meant to be some quick things off the top of your head. And to start off, who would you most want to be stuck in an elevator with?
Oh, I think I have to go with no one because that seems, if you're stuck in the elevator, that's so awkward. So if it's someone I really look up to, then it's like, okay, I have to make conversation. I have to not embarrass myself until the firemen come up through the shower, however you're rescued in the elevator. And if it's someone I don't like, then that's awful, being stuck in the elevator with them. So I'm gonna have to say myself.
I don't think anyone has answered that way, but I can relate to this answer so much. Both the reasons that you said, yes. Okay. You've been kidnapped, but they return you 2 hours later because you will not stop talking about what?
Gotta go with romance books. They always ask like, what can you talk 30 minutes about? And I'm like, okay, I can talk about tropes in romance, history of romance, misogyny in romance, the way romance is changing. And I'm a total romance nerd. Either that or forensics. I'm a big forensics nerd too. My editor would have to say, okay, there's a fine line between interesting and gross, and you've crossed that line. Dial it back. So I would say those two things. I'm also a big horse nerd. Okay, there's a lot of things. They're returning me after 45 minutes.
It just kind of depends on what your mood is for which topic you pick, right?
Right. Which I think annoys them the most.
Would be your dream writing collaboration?
Oh.
Or is it something you'd be interested in?
This is like when someone asks you what's your favorite book and all the books in the world disappear from your mind. There's so many. Can they be dead?
Of course.
Okay.
We don't put limits.
Oh, that just made it so much harder. Kind of obscure, but Ellen Emerson White, sorry, I had to think about her name for a second. She wrote, I'm not even sure if she's still writing these days, but she started out in YA, and I would check out her books over and over and over when I was at, I don't know, about 10 to 16. And she was kind of the one, it was like, okay, I want to do this. I want to be an author someday. So that would be kind of the realization of a childhood dream.
Oh, wow. I like that. Okay. Okay. Now, along the lines of your favorite book, then, I'm not going to ask that specific
Thank
question,
you.
but what is your most dog-eared copy of a book? What do you go back and read over and over and over again, or reference over and over again?
A lot of the rereads, the first ones that are popping into my mind are Mariana Zapata.
Oh, hmm.
A lot of hers I'll reread and reread and reread. There's let's see. Oh, what other ones do I see? And I'm not a big bookkeeper. I get borrow library books. I do Kindle Unlimited. And if I do have a book, if I really like it, I loan it out to my friends. If it was just so-so or I didn't finish it, I donate it to the library. Like someone will like it. So I'm trying to think what's on my bookshelf, but there's not much there. Let's see. We're gonna end this and I'm gonna think of 50 that I reread all the time.
You did give us some with Mariana Zapata's, so
Yes.
that's
Okay. I didn't leave that question unanswered.
Yeah, and we recently had her for book club, so we are in agreement.
Oh, yes.
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 Okay, what is your most memorable athletic feat? I have high hopes for you here, Katie. I mean, with all of your other activities, what is the most memorable?
I'm gonna have to go with the cold water rescue diving training that I just completed it. Because in the first scene in Hold Your Breath, where she's in training and she goes in the water and she gets cold shock and she just kind of floats to the top. I did that. So
Ooh.
that was me. It was and they just tapped me on the head. Like, you alive? You okay? And then I put my head up because I was kind of disoriented. I didn't know where I was. It was just so cold. And there's something like I've always had the idea for that book came because one of my nightmares, it's kind of one of those irrational nightmares, like getting stuck in quicksand or something. But you always have something where you think, oh, that would be so scary, even though there's like a 0.0001% chance of that ever happening. That would be so scary. And that was you get under the ice and the current takes you and you try to go up and this thick sheet of ice is on the top and you can't get out. That was always kind of one of the things I always thought sounded terrifying. So yeah, that was probably when I pushed myself the most to do something I was very uncomfortable doing it. And it ended up, being very worthwhile. I was on the volunteer dive team for the fire department in the mountains at the time. And so I was very glad I did it. But man, I had to talk myself into that.
Water, cold, ice, all not my thing. So
Right.
kudos for that, definitely. Yes. Okay, if you knew that they were real, which would you rather see? A werewolf or an alien?
What does the alien look like?
Sorry, I'm going to go with more like the Roswell type
Oh, then
classic.
definitely the werewolf. Yeah.
Missing characters,
I'm
those
sorry.
new.
Monster romance has ruined me. So, I wouldn't be thinking like, oh, alien, what kind of technology can you teach? No, it's well, is he hot?
See, those are the ones I'm reading. So, yeah, that's where it, I guess it does. I have to clarify this question better, I guess, in the future, huh? Wouldn't mind finding suddenly the alien, who's 8 foot tall, horns. But, odds are it's probably, yeah,
Yeah, I mean,
looking Roswell guys. Yeah.
who wouldn't want to, the horny aliens, right?
Oh yes. I've been getting a couple of different gifts with the big blue horned ice planet barbarian thing. So yeah, obviously I read those too.
And just speaking of, I have to show you this because it just came in the mail today. And look how cute that is. Oops, it's backwards. Is there a way to flip it?
I can read it. I think
Oh,
it's
you
just
can read
backward for
it.
you. Yes. Climb
How?
every mountain, man. I like that. Yeah.
And they put little Swedish fish in there.
I have to admit, because when I was looking at some stuff online earlier, all the little blurbs that were going with this book and one of the others of like, why a mountain man? Because they're fun to climb and, because they know how to pitch a tent. And I was like, oh yeah, I like these. Okay.
And those, I think my editor wanted me to write this series, because she already had the puns planned. She is the pun master, so they are all thanks to her. I just, she would just send me a whole list of like 50 of them, and I'd pick my favorite. So, but I did
Wow.
love this one.
Well, Katie, with so much that's planned, where is the best place for our readers to keep up with you and find out the schedules of what's coming next?
So I am on Instagram. I'm on Threads, and it's both places. It's at Katie Ruggle. So pretty easy. Just my name and my website. I really only use it for when I have a new book out, when I have some other really big news. I posted when there was going to be a NetGalley giveaway. Or a Read Now event. So I'll post there. And they can also sign up for my newsletter. I am a very rare newsletter writer. I think the most I've done is maybe four in a year. So you will not be spammed. And you can always, take off if you get sick of me. But it's like, again, it's when I have a new book out. Sometimes I'll post when I'm gonna be somewhere. Like I'm gonna be in Texas in May 1st, I think. So I'll let people know just if they're in the area. But it's not an everyday, here's what's going on in my day-to-day life at all.
Well, you've given us a lot to look forward to, including the latest release, The Fish Out of Water. So thank you again for joining us this evening, but please stick around for the happy hour Q&A with our other readers.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.